This is Abnormal Entertainment.
And we are back. This is the Atomic Fallout Society, brought to you by Abnormal Entertainment. And you can find Abnormal Entertainment at abnormalentertainment.com or at abnormalentertainment.blogspot.com. Or you want to just cut through the chase, just find us, Atomic Fallout Society, at atomicfallout.blogspot.com. Or we could also be found on iTunes, Stitcher, your mama's underwear, and Facebook.
Yo, I'm not in her underwear, bro. I'm under her bed.
Yeah.
That's even creepier.
I'm hiding, bro. I don't want your dad to find me.
Well, last week we celebrated our 100th episode, and with that, we mark a brand new era with our 101st
era?
Episode. Yeah.
Era.
Era. Like Gojira. Like Gojira
like Akira.
And Akira and
Tetsuo.
Yes, exactly. No, this is a brand new beginning for the Atomic Fallout Society. We have here sitting in the one and only Chris Lilagan.
What up, people?
Another Filipino. So we've outnumbered
what up, people.
We've outnumbered Brian 3-1.
I know. I feel especially like the token white guy.
No, but
now.
but Brian,
what's
like
up,
in
white boy?
Like in
what's
like in like in real life. No matter how many Filipinos outnumber you, the white man rules.
It's true.
Exactly.
And they rule with an iron fist, like Stalin.
Yes.
Remember that, Lilagan.
Anyway, more with that later on. But let's go ahead. We've got a lot to talk about since we've got four of us here. And also Mr. Jacob O'Neill sitting in the audience.
Hi, Jacob.
The vast audience that we have here at Samurai Comics in Mesa, Arizona. Who wants to go first with the reviews?
I say the rookie goes first.
We're gonna. I like how Tony.
I'm the rookie. I'll go first.
In the
book.
Middle of going rips the mic away from his.
All right, I'll go first. I'm bringing to you guys a review for Green Lantern number 24, fresh out of Villains Month. Fresh out of Villains Month, it's a whole new team creating Green Lantern for you. I'm not happy with this entire book.
So who's the writer?
The writer is Robert Venditti. Venditti?
I don't give a shit.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Robert Venditti. He did XO Man of War. He did.
Yeah, because that's a good book.
Right. He did Demon Knights, which I thought was really cool.
Took
over
that,
for Demon
that got
Knights.
Canceled.
Yep.
Strike two.
Totally did. And now he's starting in Green Lantern.
Woo! Way to go, John.
Right.
Foul tip.
Picking stars.
Foul tip.
Picking
full count.
Stars.
Full count.
Taking over for art is Billy Tan, regular Marvel artist. And the tracer is Rob Hunter.
Hey. Inker.
Tracer.
Inker.
He traces over pencil.
Inker.
He is a tracer.
It's an art form.
When
I do it.
Wow. This is going to get really interesting when I listen to the episodes from here on out. Continue, Chris.
He is a tracer. Anyway.
Inker.
The title for this storyline that we're starting in issue 24 is Lights Out. Last month we saw the introduction of this new character, Relic, who is apparently from another dimension, and he's made his way to Oa to supposedly extinguish all of the emotional spectrum. Everything. Destroy everything. First off, I'm going to start off with just dialogue. I hate it.
Talking to your mic?
I am.
No, now you are.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
This is not talking into my
mic.
No.
You're
breathing into the mic.
the top, bro. It's like when you kiss your boyfriend's tip. When you stick your tongue in his hole. Yeah.
Brian, he's a rookie.
I know. He's not a rookie, though. This is his fourth show.
It's my fourth show, but you guys have done like almost 100.
No, we've done 100.
You haven't done 100.
No, but these two chuckleheads have.
Yes, they have.
And I've done 100 shows total, if you count Goram, Nerd Hour, and of course the things I do for the other network.
Okay. This is the only thing I have.
Brian's
going
a machine, for me. So you. I suggest that you. I suggest that you listen to Brian from.
I'll listen to Brian.
Remember, I'm the talent, bitch.
All right, that's
96% pure, motherfucker. Yo,
pure.
Can I
white.
At least be Jesse Pinkman then?
Well, no.
Why not?
Because I'm both.
No, you're not.
I'm Heisenberg and Pinkman.
Oh, are you a chemist?
I'm Pinksenberg.
Okay. That just sounds dirty.
Heisen Inc.
Heisenman.
I'm Heisenman. That
5 minutes
that
into
like
the show,
porno.
And the show has already gone off track.
Hey, you know what, dude? That's 4 minutes less than it took last time.
Yeah, if you're starting off a review with me, it's going to be off track. There's no two ways about it.
This is
going to
be good.
Let's bring it back, dude.
All right, we're bringing it back.
So it's called Lights Out. It's Green Lantern number 24. It's right after Villains Month. We saw Relic. I'm just recapping for those at home. And it's Robert Venditti.
Billy Tan.
And the
Tracer
inker
Rob Hunter.
Is Rob Hunter.
That's right. Okay.
Inker. Or is he the colorist?
No, he is the inker.
Did you actually read that page?
I did.
Or are you just looking at the cover?
No, I actually looked at the page.
You did your research?
I did my research.
Okay, cool. So what's
I even went on Wikipedia.
What's happening in the book? if it's on the internet, you know it must be fucking true.
Exactly. Well, as far as the storyline is concerned, it's essentially Hal Jordan, who has taken over as leader of the Green Lanterns, having to deal with Relic showing up. Relic basically just tears house through Oa, drains the emotional spectrum from the central power battery, and has seemingly destroyed everything. Spoiler alert. So
you're supposed to say that before you spoil it?
Yeah, it's cool.
You're like, nobody reads Green Lantern anyway.
Nobody does. After the movie, it was done for. So,
by the tone of Chris's review, no one's gonna want to read.
I know. He's like, and this book sucks.
That's. I was just going to get to that.
Go ahead.
Jacob just said farts.
Go ahead. Explain.
Was there
farts.
A fart joke in the
there?
Book?
Is a fart joke in my Green Lantern book?
Come on.
I bought this issue, and the first page you're giving dialogue like that, you're given a fart joke, so automatically I'm just going to just write it all off.
Well, and now we know why Venditti worked on Man of War for so long.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sloppy, you know. I don't know if he has a direction, really, you know, to go in this entire storyline. All it is just him now making fart jokes and trying to write Hal Jordan like Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
Which you're just not going to do.
Yeah, no, that works, because Ryan Reynolds did so well as... Wait, no.
He did so well as Deadpool. Continue.
I'm going to continue on. As far as, like, my total score for this whole...
No, okay, what'd you give? What'd you give the writing?
One through five. The writing is going to be a 2.
Okay, and the art.
The art, I'm actually going to give it a 4. I thought Billy Tan is a very capable artist. He's very clean lines and everything. Very Finch-like, you know.
So he can't draw faces.
He has a problem.
Okay.
You know, he has a Rob Liefeld problem with faces. You
what about
know?
Feet?
I saw some feet.
Okay.
There were a couple.
And they looked okay?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
You know, there was no toes. Nobody had any toes.
Well, why would they? They all have shoes.
Right. It's all just solid black...
Were there
shapes.
Guns? Did the guns have triggers?
No, there were no guns. There were no excessive amounts of patches, although the design for Relic, he's not very threatening at all to me. You know, he's just very large. You know, that's all I can put as far as that's concerned. But yeah, 4 for the art. I'm going to say the entire issue is going to be the 2 for just weak writing.
So you think it drug it down that badly?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
The writing drug it down to a point where you're like, no, they just can't recover from
this. They can't recover from that, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's sad.
It is sad.
That's sad.
It's not the beginning, you know, it's not the...
It's not the hero Oa needs?
Right.
and this isn't the book that the consumer deserves?
It's not the book we deserve. No, it really isn't. No. Okay. So, yeah, two for Green Lantern number 24.
All right, Tom, what do we have? What else are we reviewing today? What's next on our list? Well, what you've got a Captain book, right?
Yeah, I was debating over which issue I should review.
So you've got the Captain book. Hold on. And Dave, you're going to bring us something out of Dark Horse, right?
Yes, we're going to go to Dark Horse.
Okay, well, then I suggest that I will do my review next.
Okay.
Because we'll stay in the DC family of books.
Okay.
I'm going to do one of the Vertigo number ones. And they bill this as an extra-sized issue. Now, when someone tells me that it's an extra-sized issue...
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hold on. Yeah. When you tell me it's an extra-sized issue, I'm expecting to get 40, maybe even 50 pages. But I'm also expecting to pay more than their $2.99 cover price. So at...
Normally it's a pamphlet.
Yeah,
it's actually not a comic.
Right. Well, I mean, normally, you know, the $2.99 price point is...
It didn't
us,
say double size.
It's given us...
Jacob Broyne.
I understand. But it's given us the 20-page comic book, right? That's the $2.99 price point DC is stuck to, which is now a $3.99 price point if you looked at today's wall. And they added a glossy cover. Woo! Anyway.
Because glossy cover means more money.
So in this issue, it's Hinterkind. I don't know how to say it.
Hinterkind?
I don't know. Anyway, it's Hinterkind is what I'm going to call it. Hinterkind? Hinterkind?
Hinterkind.
Okay. Hinterkind? Okay, we'll go Hinterkind. So it's Hinterkind number one. And it's brought to us by, who the fuck was the writer on this? Ellington? I don't remember.
You're the professor.
Ian
huh?
Edginton and Francesco Trifogli.
try again.
What? Trifogli, bro?
Trifogli.
How the fuck else? Trifogli?
The G is silent.
Oh, it's Trifogli.
Trifogli.
Yeah, fuck off. So Truffles and Edgington brought us this book.
Welcome to the United States. It's Trifogli.
Your new name's Smith. Deal with it. Anyway, so Ian Edgington and Truffles brought us bring us Hinterkind number one. And they bill it as an exercise issue. And in their defense, 23 pages, I suppose, is three extra pages. Okay. It's 1.5 times. You know,
but how many advertisements are there?
We got colors in on it.
Oh,
both
advertisements don't matter. I'm talking about just 23 pages.
Oh, just 23 pages.
As for the book. Anyway, it tells the story of an apocalyptic future because, you know, we've never done that before.
It looks like Why the Last Man, just from what I'm looking
at. It does. I actually really like the first splash page that they do. Yeah. I thought that was very interesting with the birds and the nature taking over, which is, of course, what would happen to the buildings that actually look to be in very good condition, considering that there's plants growing on all of them. Anyway, then you have, like, you know, the monk boy and this girl, and that's cool. And they're going, they killed a zebra.
There's such stuff, some pages,
so
panels,
exciting
colors.
No, it's actually a really good read, though. I will say it's wordy, which I don't mind. And Vertigo has a tendency to be more wordy than
just
the superhero
so long as
books.
It's not dumb, right?
No, it's not stupid, and good. That's one thing that I do like. And now you get a couple weird things go on in the book, and you're like, oh, okay. And they're setting up a bunch of storylines that they're going to go through. You've got you open it with, you know, somebody's dead. Somebody's shit done got fucked up, right?
Yeah.
And
what that red stuff is?
Yeah, that red shit, that's death. And, you know, bodies lying in it, that's definitely death because this isn't a Chucky movie.
Is that a Nintendo?
It's not a Nintendo. It's their comms communicator.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because let's be redundant. And anyway, so it opens up with that, and then you see, like, these weird hands come into the panel and throw a chair because why not? And then they shoot a zebra, and that's cool. And the book's called, or the storyline's Once Upon a Time, Chapter 1. And a very interesting thing that they actually did with this is they wrote out what seems to be almost like a Bible for living after the apocalypse called, they give you excerpts from the first book of Monday. Like,
basically, it gets kind of like
it's
kind of
churchy.
Churchy.
It's kind of cool though.
Second
it's,
verse of Tuesday,
right? Like, it's kind of
letters
cool.
from Wednesday.
But so the
this is Saturday.
It's flowers for Agernon. But no, so
the
like
Book of Saturday.
Shut the fuck up. So you get into it. And
welcome to the end of your weekend.
They give you the. You guys
so
know,
dumb.
Friday is, thank God it's Friday. That's the name of the it's a TGIF.
Oh my Praise God. Be to Lord for this Friday.
Anyway, so what you have is they show a bunch of the new community and how they've raised it and dug a giant trench around it so that, you know, whatever it is that's the bad people or bad things in the book, which you don't really know what they are. You just know they have two huge hands. And they get into it, and then somebody's leaving to go check on the people that died. Somebody else wants to leave, but her grandfather won't let her. So there's a bunch of different characters that they introduce, and they do a really good job with the introduction of the characters. It feels natural. Feels like it would work. The storylines that they're using in this, I'm actually really interested to read. And then they kind of introduce you into the more supernatural thing that's going on.
Oh.
And when I say supernatural, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone because I'm not Chris, and I want people to read my book. There's this more supernatural element that's going on with it, and it almost looks like, you know, they announced the new World of Warcraft movie getting a release date. And it kind of looks like that a little bit. But
yeah,
it's,
it kind of does, doesn't it?
It does. It looks, you know, there's like unicorns and shit. Anyway, it's kind of cool. A unicorn with three horns and eats humans. But because unicorns are nightmare monsters. What was that, Jake? Yeah, it's a trinicorn. Yeah, it's not even so dumb. Anyway, and then, you know, you have like your trolls and your gnomes and the vampire wench lady. I don't really know what's going on. And I'm confused, but excited to know what's
next.
And I love the title of the next book or the next issue is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, uh-oh.
From that movie one time.
Yeah, somebody's shit's going to get fucked up. Because somebody's going to show up for dinner that you're not expecting, and it's not a black man.
It's a trinicorn.
No, the trinicorn's not going to show up at dinner, but I'm not going to tell you
why. How
about
a black trinicorn?
Will he? Oh.
Yeah, the trinicorn's not coming. Trinicorn's not going anywhere, okay? I think the trinicorn is what's for dinner. But anyway, so Hinterkind is actually, or Hinterkind, I don't know.
Hinterkind?
Hinterkind? It was actually a really good read. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I feel the same about this one that I felt about Trillium when I read that, in that they did a good job Ooh. Of setting up the story that I want to see where it goes. I want to see how they got to where they are. And I want to know what's going on. I think Edgington did a good job with this book for a first time out title. It kept me interested enough that I want to continue to read it. And I think that's what you really need to do with that first title. The artwork is not phenomenal. It's reminiscent of a lot of stuff from the late 90s, early 2000s. Why the Last Man, as you keep pointing at me and telling me that. And honestly, the writing style is very similar to Vaughn's as well.
Okay.
Not as good as Vaughn, because he's a fucking god. But very similar to that. And so I... Yeah, the End of the Dumb TV series was pretty fucking bad. Thanks,
you guys watch now, here's that finale, by the way?
Yeah, I did. Fucking bullshit.
But you're the butterfly. You're the butterfly.
You're the monarch. You're the queen of all lands in this dome.
Okay, anyway, so...
Lights.
The pink stars. The pink stars. Where's the fucking fire that kills everyone? That's what I want to know. Anyway, so Hinterkind from Vertigo. I give the writing on this one actually a 4. I feel like it's a really solid... first book, which is what I always like to review anyway, is that number one issue. I feel like it was a very solid first book. The artwork, I feel, works for the story. It's kind of got that feel to it where it's a little bit of fantasy based in reality, and it sucks you in, honestly. It's a great color palette. It's very bright, which is what you would expect in nature. You know, and so I really, really enjoyed the book. So the art, I'll give like a 3.5 on that, because there were some panels that I was like, come on, dude. People have eyes. They have two eyes.
They have two eyes, yeah.
And they don't go on the forehead. So,
but overall, good, solid title.
Overall, it's a solid title.
From Vertigo.
I'll give it an actual 4
as
my overall grade, which I believe is lower than I gave Trillium. Trillium, I gave a 4.5.
Yeah.
So this one, I'll give a 4. I think it's definitely worth a pickup, especially if they do the dollar issue.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely worth a pickup there. But if you're into like that whole fantasy realm and post-apocalyptic kind of things, it's really cool. And the story starts off by telling you how it comes to be that this is what happened.
So it's not like a big question mark.
No, you know what happened. Nature took the fuck back over.
Yeah.
Is what happened. Like, we were a plague on the earth, and it took her some time, but eventually Mother Nature said, fuck you, humans, my turn. And that's where we're at. But I'm interested to see where the other things came from.
Yeah.
Like, where'd the trinicorn come from? And the ogres. And where'd the ogres come from?
Pfizer created it.
And maybe.
And I want to know who's coming for dinner.
Right, and who's going to be at dinner next week.
You know, in my defense, by the way, if I don't want you to read a book, I'm going to give it a terrible review. That's kind of
I can understand that.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Don't worry, that's fine.
There's no defense needed there.
Yeah.
Tony gives everything a good review. No, Tony gives everything a good review, so people read everything Tony wants reviews, whether it's good or bad. Because Tony grades on a Tony scale. The lowest grade you can get on the Tony scale is a 2.5. So if he gives a book a 2.5.
No, a 3.
No, no, no. He's given a book a 2.5.
Oh,
before.
Yeah.
Once. I don't remember. I think it was Spawn.
Yeah, it was Spawn.
What? Okay. What did he give a 2?
I'm not like that, Tony.
Did Tony give something a 2? Did you give something a 2, Tony?
No, no, no. It was Age of Ultron.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The first Age of Ultron. He was so pissed off he gave that one a 2. But that was more out of anger. Anyway, so.
Understandable.
Tony's got another major title for us, and I think that's. And it's another number one, right, Tony?
Yes, exactly. I was debating which Marvel title, because there are two Marvel titles that actually make their debuts this week, but I decided to go as a proud and all-American sort of person.
Yeah, that shield looks really good on you.
Yeah. Captain America, Living Legend number 1.
Captain America!
By Andy Diggle Eddie Granov?
I don't know, dude.
That is irony right there, yeah. As Jacob pointed out, it's an English writer.
English writer and obviously a foreign illustrator.
Doing a Captain America book.
Why not, dude? Captain America isn't all about America.
Yeah. Well,
there's one God. He's not
good.
Thor.
That is true.
Well, ironically, the story for this title is done by both Diggle and Granov.
Both?
Both of them did the story, although Diggle did do the script, and the illustration is by Graham.
You'll be talking like that soon enough.
There's a very interesting little caption in the very first page that says, "This adventure takes place before the events of Captain America number 10.
Okay.
Are we? So
Wait. What was the part where Captain America had the face on his chest?
That's Captain America. Actually, that's the latest one.
That's the new Captain America, right? So this is before all of that.
This is before, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
So this is before face-stomach.
Face-stomach America.
So, but this is more or less like the Captain America that we all witnessed and we all watched on the big screen. More like his interactions in World War II. You know,
this is the Captain America that we all love.
Yes.
So this is the Captain America we deserve?
Yes.
Now the Captain America we need?
I think that already left the station a while ago.
Yeah, I'm going to keep using it, dude. That's the theme for tonight.
All right, then. But anyway, we find Captain America. The story actually jumps from different eras, and it starts off with Captain America fighting the Nazis.
Nazis!
Because Nazis are the universal villain.
And it is towards the end of World War II, because Captain America comes to the rescue of not only the Americans, but also of a bunch of Russians.
Ah, okay. So the Russians Hitler already turned on the Russians, and now the Russians are fighting Hitler, and the Americans are helping the Russians fight Hitler, and Captain America has come to the rescue of the Americans and the Russians.
And the Russians.
The key player in this entire drama happens to be a Russian soldier.
A Russian soldier.
Soldier by the name of Volkov. And apparently...
Voltron?
Yeah, Voltron.
The
Voltron.
Wrestler?
Russian Voltron.
Because a lot of the stories, because the transition from World War II sort of like ties into Volkov, because next thing we know, we're witnessing a battle between the Nazis and the Russians, and next thing you know, we're witnessing the same character, Volkov, being strapped into a rocket to become the first man on the moon.
Oh, so he's a cosmonaut.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's obvious that it's
taking
place.
That's a nutty Rushki.
It's taking place years after World War II.
Well, yeah, because they didn't send the first man up until, the 60s?
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Because they almost beat us to the moon, but we faked it better.
Well, needless to say that sooner or later, this story ends up in present day time. This time with a space station that has mysteriously disappeared. And once again, that character, Volkov, is somehow tied into that disappearance.
Isn't he an old man now?
Well, We're going to have to find out for issue two when that comes out.
And see, that's how you review a title. You don't give spoilers.
Yeah. well done, David.
Well,
wow.
I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, I really enjoyed Granov's art in here.
I mean, I think it's actually
it's really
pretty.
It is. It's
it's very Alex Ross-esque.
That's what I was trying to think. You know, like, what does this remind me of? A lot of Alex Ross, a lot of, I don't know, maybe a lot more detail, a lot more cleaner detail than
it's
I
painted.
Usually see.
It looks painted.
So I got to give thumbs up to Granov, and I'll give him an easy four for the art.
An easy four.
An easy
so
four.
Almost a four and a half?
Almost a four and a half, but cool, I'd give him a four. And the story, you know, like I said, I enjoyed the Captain America movie. You know, like, it gave me that sort of feel.
It was the best trailer ever for the Avengers.
For the Avengers.
Exactly. I would even say that out of all three movies prior to the Avengers, there was Thor, there was
Iron Man 2,
and there was Captain America. Captain America was the best one.
I'll actually agree with
that.
I will agree
with that, too.
Yeah. I thought Thor was very, very weak, and I thought that Iron Man 2 was okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't great. It was all right.
I think that Captain America really stood out. It really showed the actual character that we recognize Captain America.
Well, yeah, because Johnny Storm was so good in that movie.
Yes, exactly. You know, like, I was waiting for him to burst into flames, but hey, you know, like.
Hey, instead he shrank and then he.
Well, no, because see, now we can get Captain America to go flame on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, God.
But anyway, the.
And he could just fuck Bucky and get it over with.
No wonder he became the Winter Soldier.
It's cold.
His heart is cold as ice because, you know,
the
Captain
dick went all the way up.
It was that cum shot from Captain America with that super soldier serum in
have
his heart. And
super
his heart
soldier serum
in so, your butt.
I got a feeling that this first storyline of Captain America Living Legend.
Why
now,
do you have to dress
help
like
me
this,
out,
Cash?
Help me out here, Brian. Yeah. Is this a miniseries? Is this an ongoing?
It is set up in the system as neither a miniseries nor an ongoing. I don't think they know yet.
I want to say that it's an ongoing. I think I read somewhere in the solicitations that
It was the same thing that I got with Hinterkind. I couldn't find out whether or not it was an ongoing or if it was just a maxi or a mini.
I will
we don't
go
know.
Out on a limb and say on the record that this is a new ongoing.
You think so?
Because I do believe that I read
Marvel's
that this was
canceling
gonna be
like what eight titles next
yeah,
month.
What the hell
month.
Is Marvel thinking? Are they thinking they're DC? All
I
of a
don't
sudden?
Know, man. I don't know. I think
hey,
it's...
that's the big two. Come on, guys. We all know that.
Anyway,
everything's coming
Captain
that way.
America: Living Legend definitely captures the essence of what Captain America really is—the all-American hero fighting
you're gonna,
the Nazis.
You gonna grade the rating?
The writing 3.5.
Did he already say that? Did I miss that?
No.
You didn't say that, right?
Yeah, you missed
okay,
it.
So what was the total grade on this?
A 4.
So the art brought it up to a 4.
Yeah, okay. I think that I would actually add this to my poll list.
You want me to add that to your poll list?
Yeah.
All right, I'll do it after the show.
Yeah, so Andy Diggle.
Here at Samurai
conducting
Comics.
Business, bitch.
Yeah, Andy Granov for Captain America: Living Legend. Now, on a side note, the other Marvel title that I was considering reviewing, but we'll talk about it later, because it is the beginning of would you say an imprint of Marvel's probably doing Marvel Knights?
Yeah,
they had Marvel Knights before. They're bringing it back, you know, like Porch Monkey.
But I was going to bring back something like
Marvel Max.
I was going to review Marvel Knights Spider-Man 1 of 5, but then we'll get to. We'll talk about Marvel Knights later on. Let's move on to our extra size, you know, like Hinterkind was an extra sized issue.
Yay!
This is the extra size Atomic Fallout Society. My brother David will cap off our reviews with a book that I was originally going to review, but apparently my brother just got all giddy.
No, not giddy. I want to vent out my frustrations on this book.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Real quick, actually, did you guys see the announcement about Dark Horse today?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, it was very misleading in every single one
vague.
Here's the thing. Every, what's the word I'm looking for here? Every headline for it was, shut up, Jacob, was Dark Horse Comics leaving Diamond Comics distribution.
Yes.
That is incorrect.
Yeah.
It's Dark Horse Publishing going to Random House for their actual book publishing.
Ah,
their
yes.
comic books will still go through Diamond Distribution.
Well, they have to.
So and, for well, they don't have to. They could absolutely leave. They
and that's
won't.
The big
That'd be
mistake.
Fucking retarded.
That, yeah.
Everybody's trying to break into Diamond. Why? Because they're the largest distributor
exactly.
of comic books in the entire
why
fucking
would you want,
world.
Why would you want to actually veer away from that?
Right, and they're not going to. But I just thought it was interesting that like all the fanboys were like, "Why didn't Dark Horse do it?" Read the fucking article.
Exactly.
Read it. Sit the fuck down and read the goddamn article.
I don't want to.
He just wants to read headlines.
I hate you, yellow fox. I hate you so much.
Not all fanboys are yellow.
You bring dishonor to your family.
I know this.
All right, so Dave, you got Star Wars. Or, I'm
yes,
sorry.
The Star Wars. Wars.
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm bringing us the Star Wars,
Wars
number two, which is actually not the Star Wars that. Done by Brian Wood.
Yeah.
But the other title brought to us by Dark Horse Comics that's actually based on George Lucas's original draft screenplay.
Well, no, it's the notes for the original draft of the screenplay.
Notes.
It's the notes, David. It's notes. Like, it's literally like pencil scrawls in a column of a page is what they base this on.
A little bit, because
no,
there are actual
so
script
dumb.
There's actual script pages that actually are
yeah,
taken.
No, I get that, dude. But essentially, probably between 70% and 90% of this book were like tiny notes he wrote on the side.
Oh yeah, the
about
tiny notes.
Luke and Leia fucking like, and then of course there's the as you flip through it, the stick figure drawings of the two of them boning. Remember when you used to do that when you were in fucking high school in your notebook? You'd like draw the little stick figures and have the little animation going through when you go. That's
oh, yeah.
the noise it makes when Luke and Leia fuck.
That's early porn.
Post-it cartoons?
Kids.
Yeah, post-it cartoons. Thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
Right? Or textbook cartoons, as I used to do.
Yeah, okay, dude. Thank you. As I'm describing it, and you're looking at me like you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Fucking cocklicker. Go ahead, David, with your review, please.
All right. So the script to us is a script for us is actually brought to us by J.W. Rinsler, and the art is done by Mike Mayhew.
Any relation?
To Winslow and Mayhew?
Peter Mayhew.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
wow.
Jesus.
Wow, weird. Brian. Wow.
Hey,
you
Brian, do you like Star Wars?
Are they related, Jacob?
No.
They're not related, according to Jacob, our resident encyclopedia. They are not related.
No, everyone made a big deal
Brian.
About this.
I know I don't like Star Wars. Fuck you. I don't like Star Trek either. It doesn't fucking matter.
He's more Lord of the Rings.
That's true. I love my lords. Wait.
But anyways,
moving on.
So the Star Wars was actually a big deal for a lot of fanboys because everyone wanted to actually see that what was the original genius of George Lucas that they wanted, because a lot of fanboys feel that George Lucas was held under the thumb of a lot of the production houses in the first three movies. Of course, the first three movies are probably the best, but hey, that's for an argument for another show.
Probably. That is...
Yeah.
No. They are the best.
Exactly. But that's an argument for another show.
No, there's not an argument. There's no argument.
Yeah, there's
there.
No argument.
There's no arguing.
Don't go on the
no
Star
problem.
Wars side. I'm sorry.
There's no argument, dude. The first three movies are all that matter.
They are. I agree
episodes
with you.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3 are the best.
If
everybody
you got Puppet
knows
Yoda,
that.
You're in.
No, episodes 1, 2, and 3 are the best. Everyone knows that. The first three.
No.
No, no.
Not the new generation. But anyways,
I hate you so much right now. Oh my God. You just sit down, pop in a Blu-ray, and watch the damn movies.
But
I've never seen them.
Oh my God. Will you just please do that for me?
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
True.
Watching the originals on Blu-ray, according to
Jacob
O'Neill, our resident encyclopedia, says that is sacrilege. And he would be correct. I still actually have the three tapes. I have those. I
from
just
McDonald's?
No, motherfucker. Box set, bitch.
I didn't buy box sets. I bought my Star Wars movies at McDonald's.
Right.
You
how'd you get
them?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's
right.
like when I bought my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cassette tapes at Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For coming out of their shell tour.
Dude, best tour ever, bro.
Amazing.
Nothing will ever beat Shredder shooting confetti into the crowd.
No, that is awesome.
All right, so Star Wars.
Have that
so. Just a summary of the story. In this one, what the difference between the story is, after his youngest son is killed and attacked by a Sith Knight on the fourth moon of Utapu, Jedi King Star Killer and his surviving son, Anakin, decide to return to their homeworld of Akile. And that's how our story begins. Now, everyone knows what the original Star Wars that the entire world has gotten to love knows what it is. As you can tell, the Star Wars is totally different. So if you picked out issue one, and I'm actually reviewing issue two right now, you're going to find that this is not your daddy's Star Wars.
Or your Star Wars, considering that yeah. most of the guys that I've seen pick up this title are anywhere from 40 to 50 years old and not the normal comic book world people.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have that new The Star Wars? No, we sold out. Oh, dude, it's 2 weeks old. Are you going to get any more in? Do you know how a comic book store works?
And see, that's the difference between Star Wars fans and comic book fans.
We don't just print them out in a machine in the back.
Whoa. Shh.
Oh, was that a secret?
Come on, dude.
I'm sorry.
Come on, bro.
But anyway,
all of these books are printed in-house.
So, in summary of this...
Brought to you by Samurai Comics.
In issue
all
number two,
gnomes.
What we got in the Star Wars, it's basically more... You can definitely tell that they're trying to pay homage to George Lucas. Because the writing in this is, oh my God, is it headache driving. Yeah, I know. You're trying to think headache driving.
Yeah, no, I don't know what that is. Anyway, so what you're saying is the writing's atrocious, like what George Lucas writes.
Yes. It's like throwing someone under the dirt road.
Right, that happens, dude. And don't forget, you have to back the bus up over their fat ass. So.
But honestly...
And the milkshake's worth two birds in a bush.
The one problem with the dialogue is the fact that it's really forced, really contrived. They try to make it out like the new Star Wars.
Like the prequels.
The prequels.
Everything is grand.
Everything
grandiose
is grandiose and epic.
Operatic.
And something has to be on stage. As Brian's just like...
I don't care. Like, what do you give the art for this one?
The art for this one actually is I'm not too impressed with it either. I mean, Tony pointed out like the art in Captain America is actually really good and is really painted. And I hear that from this art, right?
Yeah.
However, for me, the art in this one is just not really, really that great. I know that they're trying to actually pay homage to his original ideas.
Yeah.
You see that. You see a lot of his concept art in this artwork. It doesn't work. There's a reason why it's called concept art. And the fact of the matter is that art is just really rough. And it actually transitions into the art in the book. That the art itself looks really rough.
Okay, maybe we're looking at two different things here. Because I'm seeing something very clean. You know, it's very, very clean. But,
wait,
I mean...
What's your grade?
I would give the grade a 3 for mediocre.
Three
for pedestrian.
For pedestrian. For really pedestrian. I know that they're trying to make it look that it's really detailed, especially with the backgrounds, but I mean, even the backgrounds don't look highly detailed. They look sketchy.
Yeah.
And then, so overall, for a title that is highly touted by the fans of Star Wars, and I'm one of them, after two issues, the Star Wars is plainly a 2. I hate it. I really honestly do not like this book.
So if you give the art a 3, you give the book a 2, you give the writing a 1?
No, I just give it an overall lower grade because I hate it.
So
No.
It's okay.
I don't want this job.
It's okay. I know you guys are all Asians that can't do math. I'll cover the math part.
Actually, isn't that reversed? Asians are supposed to be good
at math. Guys are also, but you're Filipino. You're not really Asian.
Oh, yeah, we're Mexican-Filipino.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
we're
you
Mexican
too.
Mexican-Asians.
Yeah, you're Mexican-Asians. Like,
but
it's weird.
Basically, that's what I mean. Is like if, for a fan, I don't understand why fans like this title. Honestly,
dude, you know what
this
it is?
This points out the bad stuff of George Lucas.
Dave. Yeah. Here's the deal.
It was changed for a reason.
Star Wars, the comic book, is on issue what 180 something.
Yeah.
So you have all of these people that have been out of the loop and don't know anything about the extended universe that is Star Wars.
Expanded.
Like, that's what I said.
You said extended.
Extended.
Whatever. The expanded universe that is now the Star Wars universe, right? There's this whole big mythos that goes with it. There's the books. There's the comics that sometimes follow the books but sometimes don't. There's stuff that's considered canon that isn't canon. And then there's all this stuff that isn't canon, but then some people want to make it canon.
Cannon.
And then there's Mariah. There's Mr. Mariah Carey. And then it doesn't make sense to a lot of people. So when you give Diane Cannon, So when you give them a book that they can jump into and be like, oh, this is so cool. It's like an alternate telling of Star Wars. Wow, this is amazing. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You sounded like Keanu Reeves just then.
Whoa.
Yep. There you go.
Whoa. But no, seriously, it's that whole thing where it's for the people that are saying the book is amazing are these people that aren't. They're fans of the movies, but they have not inundated themselves in the universe, right?
Yeah.
They haven't watched the 912 hours of special features on the Blu-rays. They haven't gone through and watched everything they can possibly find about the making of or this, that, or the other, or read all of the books or read all of the other comics. So when you give them something like this, when they're like, oh, this is so neat. This is so groovy. Ugh. It's fucking retarded. And it's fanboydom at its worst.
And the thing that irritates me the most is, if you look at it just not as a Star Wars fan, but as a comic book fan, it misses the mark completely. The writing, as I said, is really atrocious.
Yeah.
And the art is just subpar.
Yeah.
It doesn't pop. I mean, the covers are wonderful.
Yeah, I do love the
covers. Covers are wonderful. But, covers don't really make a good comic book all the time.
Well, no, Alex Ross has been doing covers for Dynamite Entertainment for years, and those comics suck ass.
Yeah.
I mean, just in general. Now, there have been some good Dynamite titles. I will put that disclaimer on it. But for the most part, Dynamite sucks at comic books. And so, that's just how it goes. But anyway, Tone, what's the segment we're doing today?
During our 100th episode, we did a segment called What Have We Learned? And we learned, we were talking about what we've learned from DC 52.
Okay.
Before we move on to the next topic that I have in store for you guys, was there anything else that you want to chime in about DC 52?
Well, we learned that DC Comics hates gay people.
Okay.
Batman cannot be happy.
And right, well, we knew that. We talked about that last time. Batman can't be happy.
No one can be married.
No one can be married. Oh, and we learned that Lois Lane and Superman never boinked. And Superman is hooking up with Wonder Woman, but now that's over, and it's like a soap opera on daytime TV, so housewives should read it.
And the Crime Syndicate of America currently is controlling our planet.
Right, because, that's why the government shut down.
And Catwoman is a slut.
Catwoman's not a slut.
Catwoman has always
been
a slut.
Star Sapphire is a slut.
How?
Did you read?
That is true.
Did you read her, origin story?
Wait, are you serious?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, bro. She's a total fucking gutter slut. She'll fuck anything.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dudes, chicks.
Rocks.
Birds.
Aliens?
Arians? Isn't Star Sapphire an Arian?
Is she an Arian?
No, she's not an Arian. She's an Arian.
Is she an Arian?
No, she's an alien.
On a much more broader scale with DC.
I haven't been reading anything,
You suck.
On a much more broader scale with DC, gotta admit that there have been times in the last couple of years where I really, really, really want to pat DC on the head and give it a big hug. But I think that...
You mean because it's your retarded little brother?
Yeah, sort of, and say, you're doing a great job.
Such a good
job.
But
I will admit that DC Comics have been doing a lot of questionable personnel decisions the last couple of years.
Here's my thought on the personnel decisions that happen at DC. Personnel decisions happen at every single company, every single day of every single year. DC has just allowed their artists and writers to go unchecked when they leave. That's the difference. Because you're going to tell me that people weren't pushed out of Marvel in the 90s? You're going to tell me that people weren't pushed out of Image in the 2000s?
Yeah, that's true.
It's happened in every generation and every decade. There have been people that were pushed out. Jack Kirby was pushed out of Marvel. Stan Lee was pushed out of Marvel for a while and wrote for DC.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, now when they retcon that entire piece of history, it was Stan Lee just having some fun over at DC.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. It is part
it's always
of the
happened.
Industry.
It's always happened. Dude, this industry mirrors the Superman-Wonder Woman relationship in that it is vitriolic and always on the edge of collapse and a soap opera. It's a fucking soap opera. I mean, we all read Liefeld's excerpts from
his
movie.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
We all read that. And actually on the Gorham Nerd Hour, Jacob and I and David acted it out. And it was very soap opera-y. It was very flamboyant and full of drama and very Soprano-esque.
Yeah, I gotta admit, you know, with the advent and the impact of social media, that DC's dirty laundry has been
it's been aired.
It's been aired a little bit more
than what we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, we even want to
and
see.
Is it me or is it most DC haters, that's what they focus on. They don't focus on the books.
No, they don't focus on the content at all.
Yeah.
It's not the content. The content isn't the problem. It's the perceived treatment of their writers and artists. But I can tell you this, that you've got probably 100 writers under contract with them, 100 artists under contract. If close to these numbers. I mean, these are all approximations, obviously. It's probably closer to, you know, between 50 and 100. So you have all these people that are on contract and are happy. And then you have one person who raises a stink on the internet. Then Bleeding Cool picks it up. Then Newsarama picks it up. Then Twitter blows up. And everything looks horrible. But in all actuality, it's Rob Liefeld.
It's business as usual.
It is. It's how it's always been. And maybe that's not the way that it should be. But you know what? When you're trying to publish a book once a month at 20 to 25 pages, and it has to be drawn, written, and fit in to a massive amount of story structure, that's a hard thing to do. And if you can't do it, get the fuck out. Flat out, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
You can't handle it? Sorry. Here's your fucking papers. We'll put Manipul on it.
All right.
I mean, and I'm not saying that that's why Manipul's taking over Detective. That's completely not what I meant there. Because Layman's moving on to something else that we'll find out actually at New York Comic Con coming up, which makes me excited. Because, of course, you know, I want to blow John Layman.
And that's not saying also that, you know, we're just hating on Rob Liefeld and, you know, the J.H. Williams debacle that happened recently.
The Batwoman thing.
We've talked about Batwoman.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that and everything else.
Well, there have been issues and there have been hiccups, but when you're publishing something every 30 days, it's going to happen. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. There's going to be, and I mean, I understand that, like, people's jobs and livelihoods are at stake here, but at the same time, like, you have to put out a product every 30 days. If somebody's going to be fighting you tooth and nail on what's going into their book as an editor, fucking fire them.
Yeah.
If they don't want to go by the guidelines that you set forth and they want to fight you over and over again, you have how many books that you're editing in your little family of books? You can't hold one person's hand throughout the entire process because all they want to do is bitch and moan about what you're not letting them do.
Yeah,
instead of just doing what they're told. Because let's be honest here, when you're under contract and when you're in a contract situation, you do what you're told.
Yeah.
Period. They own you. They own you. It's like being in the military. You try to kill yourself, you fail, the military sues you for destruction of military property.
Yep.
Okay, well. You know? But anyway, before we move on to my topic for what we have learned, quick prediction. What do you think John Layman's title is going to be?
Oh, that's a tough one, dude. I honestly don't know. At all, because he's not gonna move over to Batman. That's Snyder and Capullo, period. He's not taking that title from them. I could see him possibly moving over to the Green Lantern family. I think that would be a very good move on DC's part because his run on Detective has been very, very, very popular.
Chris is basically praying that you are right.
But personally, what I really want to see, I want to see Layman write Superman. I don't even give a fuck which title it is for Superman, but they may also bring us a new Batman title and give it to him. They could do that. It could happen. We don't know. There's going to be some big stuff going on at New York Comic Con that we're going to find out about that is going to take us all a little bit by surprise.
You know,
I don't think it's anything.
Batman
66.
But you know what? I'd actually like to see him in Constantine.
I think that would work too.
Have him write.
I think he would do a very good job at Constantine. I don't want to see him move to a book that's that little, though. After being
what
on
happens
Detective,
if he moves, what happens if I he moves to a Justice League title?
I'm fine with that too, because then he still gets to write Superman.
Because I know that there's been a big rumor, or maybe it's been confirmed, that we're going to get Justice League Canada.
Well, okay. If they
are you serious?
Here's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
You don't put layman on Justice League Canada. We did that once before with Alpha Flight. We don't need it.
Okay. All right. So anyway, with the remaining time, really quick, and then we could probably recover it again next time. What have we learned from Marvel Now?
Damn it, Tony.
I'm going to let David take this one at first.
Okay.
And then I will go from there. Because as you guys know, what I've learned about Marvel over the course of my comic book career is fuck Marvel. And I don't read Marvel titles. I will occasionally review one for the show. But when it all boils down, I just follow what's on Bleeding Cool and Newsarama for my updates as to what's going on in the Marvel universe so that I can talk to customers.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I wasn't working at a comic book shop, you ask me about Marvel, I'd look at you blankly and go, they're the other one, right? Like, that would be my response. I don't read Marvel. I don't like Marvel. I don't like any of their characters, honestly. I don't relate to any of their characters because either they have mutant powers, which obviously I will never have, or they're a whiny little bitch. Yeah. Those are your two choices. Either they're completely overpowered or they're a whiny bitch. Or they're both.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much
in the same boat. Pretty much. All I gotta say is Disney.
I'm not even bothered by Disney, dude.
Why?
Although I will say this. There has been over the course of the last 2 years.
They own everything and it's disturbing.
Since Disney bought Marvel, there has been this trend to go the Disney route with a lot of Marvel stuff.
Yes.
Their comic books, I feel like, have been pretty much left alone aside from the assimilation of the movie characters into the Marvel Now universe.
Yes.
Because that's what we saw with Hawkeye. That's what we've seen with Kitty Pryde, who they are trying to make into
Captain
a bigger
America
character.
Now.
Character.
A big, right?
Now, granted, that's also a Fox thing, not a Marvel thing. Captain America has become very Evans-esque. You know, and even when you look at like their X-Men titles, they have made them different from the Marvel movies, very different from the Marvel movies, but you still see
those similarities
because Marvel's not stupid. They don't have the rights to the movies, but that's what people are buying their comic books because. They're buying their comics because they liked Wolverine. They're buying the comics because they like X-Men.
nobody likes
that. Yeah. Because people are excited about Days of Future Past. That's why they're buying these comic books. It's not because it's a comic. They're buying it because they recognize the characters. It's the same thing with Deadpool. You know, once they get Deadpool off the ground, he'll change in the comic books.
Oh, yeah.
And we have seen that time and time again with Marvel. And Marvel Now was just a way to do it as a quasi-reboot, which is all it was.
Ryan Reynolds.
Well.
Yeah. So you'll have two Ryan Reynolds in the comic books.
Wow.
Because that's necessary.
Yeah.
It itches a little.
My
one
dick
thing
hurts.
I think the things that I'll take away from it, though, okay, Marvel can write single story arcs. They can. Because some of their single story arcs.
They can't finish them, Dave.
Some of them have been good, though. Thor, Godkiller was awesome.
Okay, Godkiller was good.
Godkiller was freaking
awesome. I will
give
you that. Godkiller was good. I did read that one. Because I was told to.
Some of the Dan Slott's work on Spider-Man.
Dan Slott's Dan Slott, bro.
Yeah, but it's good.
But it's Dan Slott. It's always good.
Exactly.
It's got nothing to do with the character of Spider-Man or Marvel Comics. It's Marvel Comics.
Marvel.
It's Dan Slott.
Yeah.
And also, basically, like not the secret origin of Tony Stark, because that's been god awful.
It's been awful, as has the Captain America thing.
Yeah,
the face thing.
The stuff that has led up to it has been phenomenal. The stuff that has led up to it has been good, and also single solitary issues that don't actually hit, like the little series that don't really make the big thing, like I've mentioned in the past, Guardians of the Galaxy.
But the problem Marvel is that their giant events overshadow every other story arc that they've ever had.
And the giant events,
which we have talked about ad nauseum on this fucking show, because all they've had are giant fucking events over
like
the course of the last year.
And for their great
writers' core, they can't write a epic crossover if their life depends on it.
Here's my thing. They have wonderful people writing storylines for one character.
Yes.
Or even a team of characters in the case of like Wolverine and the X-Men, which has been a pretty decent book.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to doing a crossover, though, it's not the writer's fault. When a crossover doesn't work, you don't blame the writers. You blame editorial. And the problem at Marvel, in my eyes at this point, after their last five epicness miniseries, it's the editors that are at fault there. There's no direction. It's like the first two issues will be okay. The third, fourth, fifth issue will make sense. Then the seventh issue, there'll be a giant jump in something happening. And you're like, what the fuck? Wait, what did I miss? And what you'll find is that you missed the three tie-in issues. And so then you have to go back and read the tie-in issues. Then you'll read the seventh one. It'll make sense. Then you'll read eight. It'll kind of make sense, but there'll be something little in there that you missed. Then you'll get to nine, and there's a huge chunk of time missing again. Oh, fuck, I forgot the other seven tie-in issues. Then you read 10, 11, and 12, and by the time you get to 12, you have read so much information by so many different writers and so many different styles that when you read 12, you're like, I don't know what's going on. Oh, nothing changed at the end? Why the fuck did I read all this?
And see, that's but that also goes on to the writers, though.
No, that's not the writer's fault, dude. That is editorial's fault. They're the ones that decide what the story arc is. I know that the writers sit down with the editors and decide all that. I know he's pointing at me to tell me that we have a minute left. I understand that. That's what he's doing. I'm looking at the
rookie,
time as well.
Rookie.
Come on, motherfucker. You don't have to show me that Tony's pointing. I can see Tony all the time.
He's a sound master.
All right. So anyway, so here's the thing. Marvel now has taught us more than anything over the course of the last 2 years that nothing they write matters.
Yes.
Because it's just a matter of time before Peter Parker is Spider-Man again. Miles Morales will be in the regular universe because, God knows, we need that. You know, we need some ethnicity in our comic books. That's just the way it is. Tony, lead us the fuck out.
Okay. Anyway, I want to thank my brother, and I want to thank Brian for yet another great show. I want to thank Chris. Chris is here for a very specific reason. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this is the beginning of a brand new era for the Atomic Fallout Society. This will be my last era.
You know what? Here's the deal, guys. This is his last show. Let's give him 4 minutes of uninterruption.
Okay. No, this won't be my last show, but I am going to be taking a hiatus away from the Atomic Fallout Society. I'm for some reasons that were uncontrollable. Other network. and I will just leave it at that because I want to make peace with both worlds. You know, like Marvel.
Like I
and
do.
Peace. Yeah.
Yeah, like how I
Brian,
make peace with both.
Should we have peace?
No, there will be no peace.
Peace?
Peace. Peace is overrated.
Okay.
General
but anyway,
Brian, shall we crush them?
No, we're not going to crush them. That's
no.
I'm
you guys,
that
you guys, are, you guys are gonna. You guys are gonna be great. I could already sense the chemistry between the two of you and Chris. Chris Yay. Lee Logan.
Well, it's because he's tiny and like a tiny little bell.
Yeah,
Chris
very
Lee Logan
adorable.
Will be
like
taking over my seat for a while.
That's true. That's true.
I am not cutting ties with the Atomic Fallout Society because I love Dave and I love Brian too much.
That's true.
Yes.
In the way that only a man can love another man.
Without fisting.
Whoa.
Jeez.
No fisting. No
in the butt.
None of that. None of that.
I can already tell that the next couple of episodes with Chris are going to be very interesting.
I think they're going to be very vulgar.
Farts, poopy, vagina, vagina.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, piss, fuck, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat, bitch.
I think Kevin's going to love the direction that this is going to go for a while.
Probably. Yeah,
but I will stop in once in a while to see how things are going.
You better, man. You can't leave me here with these two.
No, I mean...
You're the voice of sanity, man.
I'm probably between the...
Brian, you do realize what that means.
It's going to be you two.
I have to become the voice of sanity.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck that. No, here's how this is going to go. I am now Captain Talent. Okay, I am Captain Talent.
Well, honestly,
but you said that you didn't want to run two shows.
Fuck it, I am Captain Talent. And Jacob runs my show. I just read. I'm
I
a
was originally
going
to say that you know, like the captain seat. I was more or less going to offer it to Brian because he works so hard.
You've got
recording,
to,
but
got
at
to.
The same time, I was thinking I was there with Dave from the very beginning.
There's a reason you were the captain and he wasn't, bro. Yeah.
Aren't you curious?
That's what I say. I'll be the voice of reason.
Aren't you curious to see what David...
I'll die.
Are you curious to at least see what David would be like in a captain's seat?
I don't want to have to eat weird fucking ethnic food every week.
Oh, that's fine.
You think my English is bad? David's going to throw you under the dirt road.
Ah. Yeah.
It's okay. I don't mind the dirt road. It's okay.
But
it's
anyway, okay. This isn't the end of me with the Atomic Fallout Society. I'm taking time off because, like I said, I got other responsibilities.
Ooh, I have the title for this episode.
Okay.
Is this the end?
Ooh.
That's the title. There you go.
Is this the end?
I will be the voice of reason. The day that David is the voice of reason, dude, is the day that fucking Hinterkind happens.
Okay.
Sweet.
Other than that, I want to thank Dave. I want to thank Brian. You guys have made it very enjoyable for me.
We all know it was me that made it enjoyable.
You are definitely
the talent.
You liked
me in my underwear?
Oh, I never had to see that.
Great.
Chris, do not do shows in your underwear, you know, period. That's all I got to say.
Yes, Chris, never wear underwear.
The former voice of reason has spoken.
Chris,
Wait a minute. If he's not here, that means I can be in my underwear. Because the voice of reason is not here.
I swear to God, you're in your underwear, bro, I will cut your dick off.
Why?
With dull butter knife.
Chris?
With the comic book. I will
Chris,
use the comic
book
page
you've
to
got,
cut
you've
your
got
dick
a
off.
Lot to cover, and you've got some pretty big shoes to fill, my friend.
It's true. He's a lot taller than you, bro.
Yeah.
So that means his feet are bigger.
Yes.
It also means...
something else.
His hands are larger, too.
Yes. But anyway, for Tony Sabal,
for yourself?
For myself.
For yourself?
I'm talking myself in third person.
No, here we go. Let's go around the horn. For Tony Sabal, say it.
For Tony Sabal.
For Brian Smith.
For David Sabal.
And for Chris Lalagan.
This is the Atomic Fallout Society. Episode 101 is in the books, and we will see you again shortly.
Welcome to the Atomic Fallout Society. It's a very twisted tale. Head to abnormalentertainment.com for all of our podcasts and blogs. Go to cinemaheadcheese.com for our movie reviews and news. Don't forget our YouTube channels, Abnormal Podcast and Cinema Head Cheese. Get us on Twitter, at Abnormal Podcast, and find all of our shows and Abnormal Entertainment on Facebook. New content 7 days a week from Abnormal Entertainment.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.